Good morning. Today we're in Perek Chaf. It would have been really, really cool if this was Perek Chavav. Why? Because Perek Chaf, the 25th chapter of the Gvuras Hashem, is all about the next little segment of the conversation between Hashem and Moshe, which is about the name of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, they're going to say to me, what's your name? What should I tell them? Because we know that the name of Hashem, which ultimately gets revealed here, is Yudke Vavke, which is the shame of Chavav, the name of 26. It's the gematria of Yudke Vavke is 26. It would have been really cool if this was Perek 26, but it's not. Okay, so it says Perek 25. We'll live with it. We'll manage. Okay, but this is Perek Chafei, and it's about this fascinating exchange in the Pasuk of Mashemo. I would just mention as a reference, because the way it is with the Maral, many times he will discuss things in different places, and sometimes reading it in one place, it just conveyed a little bit differently, and it can help. So the complementary source here, which certainly if there was a Hartman edition of the Gvuras Hashem, it would be exciting and explaining, is in the Maral's Gur Aryeh, right here, on the Rashis, where Rashi partially cites the sources which are discussed here in Perek Gimel of Shemais, where he discusses much of the content that is in this Perek, although, interestingly, just because of the way it comes up, it's sort of like in the reverse order of the way the presentation is in the reverse order of the way it's presented here. In the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Moshe Rabbeinu the mission to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And he says, the Moshe Rabbeinu's first question was, who am I that I should take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim? Hashem says a very interesting answer in light of these verses that we're about to do. He says, Ki eyeh imach, because I will be with you, which of course is what he's going to say. His name is Eyeh, I will be. But he says, because I will be with you, that's how you will have the power to do so. And you're going to take the Jewish people to Har Sinai, to Kabbalas HaTorah. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Elohim, I am coming to the Jewish people. I want you to listen to this pasuk, these psukim, carefully, because it's important as we go along. I will say to them, the God of your fathers sent me to you. They will say to me, what's his name? What should I tell them? And Hashem said to Moshe, Eyeh asher eyeh, I will be that which I will be. Vayomer, and he said, Kosei mar livnei Yisrael, so you should say to the Jewish people, Eyeh shlochani aleichem, I will be sent me to you. So Moshe said, what should I say? Who should I say sent them? Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, Eke asher eke. And then he says, this is what you say to the Jewish people, Eke, or Eyeh, sent me to you. So, what happens? Right, so Rashi puts in what Chazal say, Gemara, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, tell them, I will be with them. I will be with them through their tzaras. I will be with them through this tzara, through this difficult time. I'll be with them as well through all future tzaras, through all future difficulties which they will experience. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, come on. They need to hear about future tzaras. It's enough what they're going through right now. So Hashem says, okay, tell them I will be with them in their tzara. And don't mention anything in the future. Which of course is also sort of like a strange and difficult to understand exchange. And then Hashem comes back and says, Vayemer Elkim Moshe Kaisar Abnei Yisrael, so you should say to his people, Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name that we don't pronounce, Elkev, Yisrechem, Elkev, Ram, Elkev, Yitzchok, Elkev, Yakev, Shulchani, Alechem. That's my name. So we have these three responses of Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu's question. The first response Eke. The second response Eke Asher first response Eke Asher Eke. The second response Eke Shulchani Aleichem. And the third response Yudke Vavke, Hashem, Elikev, Ezechem, Elikev, Ram, Elikev, Yitzchok, Elikev, Yitzchok, Shulchani, Elikev. So how do we navigate these three different phases, these three different responses to the question which Moshe Rabbeinu asks. That's what we have to discuss here in this perek. It's in general a serious and difficult sugya in this parsha, of Shemais, and a very rich one as well, I might say, that we need to figure out. It happens to be that we spent a nice amount of time on it again this year because it's the fourth aliyah in the parsha, and we try to avoid, at least for the beginning, to speak about what we talked about and speak about what the Maharal says on this matter. So the first thing that the Maharal says is, what does it mean that they're asking what's the name of Hashem? They don't know the name of Hashem. They didn't know. I mean, there was nothing new over here. You know, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, spoke to them. He knew them. They knew the name of Hashem that way. Now again, of course, in the beginning of Era, it says Ushmi Hashem Lo Naidati Lahem, where there again, I didn't become known to them with my name Hashem. Again, it doesn't mean they're literally, as Rashi himself notes, and in the back brackets in those Rashis, they did know the name of Hashem. Hashem did say his name to Avram and to Yitzchak and Yaakov, but what does it say? And this is really the core of what the Maharal says. I didn't reveal myself to them in actuality, bepoel, in action. And the idea is like this. And this is the way the Maharal explains what the question here is. And that is, that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that with which he reveals himself, is the name Lefi Pe'ulosov, according to his actions. According to his actions. Hashem's name is revealed according to the way he acts, according to what he does, according to what he accomplishes. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed to man. In the words of the Maharal, Ein Safek, Acher Shata Bo Liga Leisonu, Tzorech HaTalas Ech HaGulu Mesuderes Mi'ita Yizbarach. If you're coming to redeem us, you need to know how the Geula is going to be coming. What's the sort of order and nature of how the Geula is going to be presented? And the things which come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his holy name, Mayrim Aleim, they indicate them. Kishmaisav Yisbarach Mayrim Al Pulaisav Shehem Mesudarim Me'itai. The names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reflect the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu about how they are arrayed and given to us. Which of his names is indicative of the Geula? This is the idea. The Maharal at the end of the Perek quotes Medrash in Shmais Rabbah right here, and he says, Shmi atamavakesh ladas, you want to know my name, Lefi masai ani nikra. I am called according to my actions. Lefamim shani nikra b'shakai, b'tzvakais, b'elekim, b'hashem. When I'm judging people, I'm called elekim, which is the name of judgment. When I make war, I'm called tzvakais. When I'm forgiving, I'm called shakai. When I'm merciful, I'm called Hashem. And what's the idea? Because, again, this is the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Lefi maisav shel oiso shah. The name is Mayra Alamahus. The name indicates the essence, but the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense, is, of course, unknowable. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known to us is by his actions. You know, there's a classic, beautiful thing, which it says in the Tshuvas HaRashba. Every bracha which we make has a grammatical problem. Blessed are you, Hashem. Baruch ato Hashem. So how are we speaking? We're speaking to you, Hashem. And then we say, for example, Shehakol niya bidvarai. Everything came in existence through his word. How would you end a sentence when you say, blessed are you, Hashem? You would say that everything came into existence through your word. Shakol niya bidvarecha. Right? Like, let's say we say in the Haftarah. Neman atu Hashem alakeinu, v'nemonim dvarecha, v'davarachad bidvarecha, achor le yeshuv rekom, ki kem lach neman rachman ota. Right? You speak all the way through. But the normal brachas that we make, we switch from Lashon Noichach, which is direct, to Lashon Nistar, to hidden, from second person to third person. Why do we shift? And the Rashba says in the Tshuva a beautiful thing. He says that on the one hand, we are speaking about what we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can see, which is Pu'uloisa, which is what He creates. And on the other hand, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. So we recognize that tension, that duality, by speaking B'loshan Neichach, by speaking directly, but then by pulling back and speaking about Him. When we even invoke the names of Hashem, says the Maharal, and that's what he's speaking about here, we're speaking about not who Hashem is. But we know there are all kinds of names of Hashem. But the name, and you know, the names, so to speak, we knew those names the way they are out there, and we're not again trying to pin down a specific name, and we're not trying to peg the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're looking at, in what way is Hashem interacting with us, interacting with the world right now? In what way is Hashem relating to us and responding to this situation right now? That's the question, Ma Shemo. What's His name for the purposes in which we are engaged with HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, at this point in time?
Why is that an important? Why would that be a question that Moshe Feiz and Yisrael would want to know?
Okay, good question. So why, in fact, does Klal Yisrael want to know what this is? So the thing is that they want to be able to... There are two ways to do it. Maral doesn't speak out, I want to tell you. Maral doesn't speak out over here why Klal Yisrael are asking this question. He's speaking out what the question itself is. And there are two ways, I think, that we can understand why they wanted to do it. Straight in at least the way the Maharal's presentation. I'll tell you a third way, but there are two ways in the Maharal's presentation. One is that they want to understand how it's going to be. In other words, okay, Hashem's coming to redeem us, but what's going to be the name with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be redeeming us so that we can get a sense of what the Seder HaGaula, of what the nature and the order of the Gula is going to be like? If the name indicates the style, then when they want to know the name, they want to know the style. That's one. The other, a little bit more in line with the kinds of questions which Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be asking, is that he's worried that the Jewish people won't trust him. So when they're saying, look, if Hashem has come to you and he's going to use you to redeem the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, you would know how things are going to be, in which case you would know the name of Hashem. Tell us what's his name. Tell us what name he's going to be using here in this story, so that we will so that we trust that he has really confided in you and appointed you in order to be able to do it. I think there's a third way.
They were on a level that they would know the diuk between one versus the other.
They were on a level.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how would they know that he's not being
making that up?
Yeah.
Predictive.
It's
predictive.
What do you mean?
He's telling them beforehand what will come out.
Yeah. It'll have to follow through, you know, as things go along. It'll have to follow through.
But it still begs the question, from why did Klal Yisrael really need to know this? What were they looking for? They were just looking for reassurance? They're looking
in the second way, first of all, they're heading down a mysterious road, and they want to understand what the road would look like.
Versus the road of terrible suffering. I mean, you get to pick a road, terrible suffering or something else.
Right.
I mean, who's going to...
This could have been worse. Better than W now.
Yeah. Later, that's how they responded.
So I'm not sure if that's a question. I understand the question. I'm not sure if that's a question, because we know Klal Yisrael versus... And again, if there's a question of trust, so then, you know, should they peg any hopes on this person coming towards them? So him telling them the name is in order to establish the trust. You know, yes, even a person in the most difficult of circumstances is not going to be interested in a charlatan, and they had to determine it. I think that there's a third, which is that when you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning like you're mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the term which is used? Let's say when Avram Avinu started tefillah What does it say? It says, Vayikra b'shem Hashem. He called out in the name of Hashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now making himself available to Klal Yisrael for Geula, Klal Yisrael doesn't just sit and watch. Klal Yisrael will now even be more targeted in their krios to Hashem. And in fact, the Ramban says that in the answer to this question, Zeshemila Olam Zezichri Lador Dor, Hashem said, tell them this is my name so that this is how they should call me. When they call upon me, this is how they should call upon me. So I believe, and again, it's not found here in what we're learning here today in this parak of the Maral, but I believe that it is very likely that part of Klal Yisrael asking Ma Shemo is not just a curious question or a testing question, but if Hashem is now bursting on the scene to us, we're going to engage with him. How will we call him? The way we begin. The first bracha of the Shemona Esrei is the one where we give the elaborate name of Hashem because we're reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you reach out to somebody? Hey, Jack. You know, that's the way you reach out to somebody. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahavdil, same thing. We begin by Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, by calling out in the name of Hashem. So they're asking this question. But again, as the Maral says, they've heard the names of Hashem. They want to know, what name is Hashem using here? How is this redemption going to set out? How is it going to begin? What name, what form of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to define how we connect to him at this point? That's the question. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer is Eya Asher Eya. Those are the words which HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses. Explains the Maral. V'heishiv lehem ha'gula tia b'shem Eya Asher Eya k'shem Eya meiral shu yizbarach havaya sh'me'itay miskayim ha'kel. That's the name of being, I will be. It implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all being, of everything which exists. K'may sh'nimshach min ha'ikar kiyum ha'kel. Just as the root is the source of the existence of everything which grows from the root, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the root of being, the root of existence. V'zeh Hashem meirav shu yizbarach ikra hakol mimenu hakol. Ulufikach, says the Maral, hu beloshein medaber ba'adai ki hamedaber ba'adai al zulasai nigla elov. And he says, and look what the name is. The name is Eya, I will be. Which is not a veiled description of him. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I. So let's go back. I think we should use the Rajba, which I mentioned before, as sort of like a touchstone for the discussion. When we make a bracha, b'loshon neichach, to the Hashem who's in front of us, we say, Baruch Atah. Blessed are you. So when Hashem reveals himself to us, what would he say? What name would he use as a name of revelation would be I am. Because, again, it's not him, it's me, revealed. Because what we're talking about here is the forging of an open connection on some level between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name which Hashem uses is not a hidden name, but the name which Hashem uses is a revealed, direct name. I will be. I am here. I am speaking to you. This is not a name about Hashem. This is not a name which is attached to Hashem. This is Hashem speaking here. This is me. This is my name. So we have here both the content of the name and the form of the name. In other words, the conjugation, whatever you would say, of the name. The content of the name is Havaya, being. I'm the source of being. I'm the source of existence. I am, I make, I bring, and when I'm now going to take you out of Mitzrayim, I'm going to be coming and bringing to you reality, existence. That's the name. That's the content of the name. But the form of the name, the conjugation of the name, Eyah, instead of just being the name, let's say Havaya, Yudke Vavke, which is the name of being, which he's going to discuss shortly in Yerz Hashem, that form, but that's more objective. Eh is I will, which is a form of revelation. As he says, b'mashehu naisein mitzius v'kiyum l'nimtzoyim harehu nimtza lahem. In this that Hashem gives existence and sustenance to those things that exist, so he's nimtza lahem, he's available to them. V'kach inyan zeh Hashem HaKadosh HaVyoseh hu nimtzeis l'zulasei b'mashehu naisein akiyum lahem. That's why this name, which is referring to this idea that he's present for us in sustaining us, that's the way he reveals himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am there as the grantor of life. And it's me, and it's I, and I'm revealing myself to you, I'm connecting to you in this way in the Geula. In the Geula. That's the notion of the Havaya. Okay, so that's phase one of how he's explaining how he's revealing with the name of Eke. But he doesn't just say the name of Eke. He says, and I keep going back and forth, you notice, because it's a shiloh whether you should say Eke or Eya, right? But the Eke Asher Eke. He goes and he says more than just Eke. He says Eke Asher Eke. Why does he say that? What's the double expression? So I read to you before the Rashi, and the Rashi said that the idea is because I'll do it now, I'll reveal myself to you now when you're going through this difficulty, and I will also reveal myself to you as well and come to you as well to redeem you in the future when you go through other difficulties. That's the way Rashi explains it. That's the way Chazal explained it. Excuse me. Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvareh. The Maral says that before you get to that drasha, let me tell you what it means, which the drasha is a deeper expression of. It says, Asher Eke is a term of shlemus, of completion. When you say Eke Asher Eke, is that I will be, and so to speak, I will be again. Ki b'shem Eke Meir HaShaviyos Esibah V'aschol L'nimtzoyim. He says, I am the cause and the cause of being of existence of other things. And he says, and it's always, in all ways, Asher Eke, I will be the cause of all existence at all times. That's what Eke Asher Eke comes to imply. Right here in the Gur Aryeh, I think I found the language was a little bit easier for me, right? And he says like this. He says the idea of Asher Eke, the way he says it here, is that I will be with you and I will be with you again. And the idea is, and again it sounds a little bit different, than the way he expresses it here, but the idea is that I'm going to be with you, I'm here to you, I will sustain you, but the nature of who you are is such that you will not maintain with constancy the attachment to me. And so I say, but I'm there, here, and ready to resume that attachment at any time. Eke, I'm here for you now, and Asher Eke, and I'll be able to be there to resume the attachment with you. Which, of course, is now the context for what Chazal say, what the Gemara says, what Rashi quotes, that was saying, I will be with you through this difficulty, and I'll be with you through future difficulties. Because why do I have to come to be with you now? Because the connection between us was weakened, was severed. So now I'm saying, here, I'm revealing myself to you, I'm going to be your source of existence and your source of freedom, but you'll need it again. It's going to lapse, and you're going to need it again. We're going to have to come back and do this again. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, why are you telling them? Why should I tell them that what they're having now is going to be temporary? Litzara daya shaita. They're going through a difficult time now. Let me get them out of this situation without alluding to the fact that there are going to be different things that they're going to need down the line. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back and he says, okay, so tell them Ekesh Lachani Aleichem. Forget the Asher Ekev, just tell them Ekesh Lachani Aleichem. So here, the Maral explains something. I'm just going to tell you this and we'll pause for any questions or comments you have on what we've been talking about. Maral says something which I think is just very, very beautiful, practical in explaining this. What's the problem? The problem is that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should not be saying, oh, I stand corrected. Right? That doesn't work too well. Hashem is all-knowing. Right? He says this thing, Moshe Rabbeinu says, hey, Hashem, that's not going to play well. So Hashem says, okay, you're right. Say it this way instead. Right? It doesn't work. So the Maral points out something which I tried to highlight to you when reading the Psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, they're going to say to me, what's my name? What should I say to them? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem says, I will be that which I will be. Eke asher eke. So shall you say to the Bnei Israel, Eke sent me to you. Now how do you read that? Again, taking the Rashi, simply, Hashem said, you said what name you should tell them? Tell them the name Eke asher eke. But then Hashem modifies it and says, tell them that it's Eke. Why did he modify it? Because Moshe Rabbeinu raised a correction. But we have a hard time with Hashem changing his mind that way. So what's an alternative way to read the Pasuk? Right? Hashem says, he says, what's my name? What should I tell them? So Hashem says, Eke Asher Eke, so shall you tell them in Israel, Eke sent me to you. So the Maral offers two ways to read it. And they're all mamish beautiful and blatant. He says, I'll say the second thing first. What he says is sort of like pshutai. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never, when he first answered him, he didn't say, this is what you should tell them. Right? They're going to say to me, what's his name? What should I tell them? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. But Hashem just said, Eke Asher Eke. And the way the Maral says, what Hashem is saying is that's my name. My name is Eke Asher Eke. So Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, says, I'm going to tell them that? That which implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to reconnect with us over and over again, and it's going to happen once, and it's going to happen again, and we're going to have other Goliaths. That's going to depress them. Hashem said, I never told them to tell you that. I told you what I would tell you to tell the Jewish people is, Ekesh Lachani Aleichem. You want to know what my name is? My name is Eke Asher Eke. Tell them, Eke. That's the way he reads it. But he says another part which I think is even better. Why? Because this he says, you know, even without this pshat, this would be the simple reading of the pasuk. But what he says is better because it goes all the way. He says, if Klal Yisrael asks you, what's my name? You're going to have to tell them, what is my name? And my name is Eke Asher Eke. If they ask you, you have to respond. But if you offer, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, if they ask you, Moshe Rabbeinu says, they'll ask me, what's your name? What should I tell them? So he says, you have to tell them, Eke Asher Eke. Now, there's a problem with telling them that, because then that implies all these other tzoras, which maybe they don't want to hear about. So Hashem says to Moshe, go to the Bnei Yisrael and say to them, Eke sent me to you. In other words, reveal a name before they have a chance to ask. And when you reveal, this is what you should reveal. Responding to a question requires a different standard than what you offer to begin with. Yeah. You know, does anybody here ever get a call for somebody about a reference? Right? Somebody calls, you know, for a reference for a work or for a shidduch or for whatever it is. There are two completely different standards which you would work with. One standard is, okay, I don't know this person, tell me about this person, what you say. And then there are responses to pointed questions. Right? If a person calls you about somebody, and the person is a fine, wonderful, reliable, good person and they do well and they take care of themselves and so on and so forth. Do you have a responsibility to tell them that, let's say, once upon a time they had they had a childhood cancer and they were cured from it, or that they take a certain medication, you know, just to keep themselves, you know, okay. Have a responsibility to tell that to the person? Not necessarily. The person's asking about a person as a whole. You have to tell them. You don't have to tell them every detail, every nook and cranny of the person's life. They have a right to some privacy, and so on and so forth. And you don't have, you know, it's not necessarily as it presents. If you're talking a person, you're not misleading the person. Right? If the fellow's calling somebody and he wants somebody to, you know, to work in a hospital, and you know that the fellow got a medical degree with three box tops, right, from a place in Thailand, so then you might want to tell them that you should need to tell them that information. But if, let's say, something may or may not be germane, a curious person might want to know, but that's not my job necessarily to satisfy people's curiosity. That's one thing. But if the person says to you, tell me something, are you aware of anything in this person's medical history? Did the person have anything other than strep throat? And you're aware. What do you say then? It's a whole different story. It's a whole different story. If somebody asks you a question, then you may have a responsibility to answer the question. If a person doesn't ask you the question and you offer the information, your level of obligation is different. It's just plain and simply different. Yet I'm not saying that the person himself may not have his own issues of trust, what he has to confide, and so on and so forth. But as a outsider, as a reference, I think it's fundamentally different. So does the Maral. The Maral says that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu was, if they ask you, you're going to have to tell them. So the whole story. So the smarter way, if you feel that it's not going to be good for them to hear that they're going to go out, but then they're going to have problems again, and so on and so forth, you don't want to say that to them right now. Litzara daya shaita. So then be forthright, beat them to the punch, rather, and tell them, eke, and stop there. And then they'll never ask you mashamo, and therefore you don't have to respond with a full rendition of Shemo. You told them, Eke, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to save you now, who's coming to be with you now, who's coming to give you existence now, has sent me to you. I'm not telling you that's his full name. I'm just telling you that's the way he's revealing himself at this point in time as one Eke step. That's it. That's the way the Maral reads the Pasuk. And so that, according to the way the Maral explains it, takes care of this first stage, the first two stages. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's the name? They're going to ask me, what's the name? The Maral explained, because they want to know how Hashem is revealing himself to them. He responds with the name Eke, which is the name of Geula, the name of giving existence, of giving freedom to the Jewish people. And it's it's revelation. Is I, Hashem, revealing himself to the people. Yes, he says that it's something which happens and then has to happen again, because Hashem reveals himself, connects himself to us, sustains us, and then we pull back and we separate, and then Hashem has to come back. So there's Eke, Asher Eke, right? There's there's doing it partially, there's doing it completely, and then then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so maybe just speak to them about what I'm doing to them now, and don't speak about things for the future. So beat them to the punch, just present to them who I am and how I'm revealing myself to them now, and we'll worry about the future at another time. That's so far the phases according to the Maral. Questions, comments?
Is Echia one of the names of Hashem?
That's what he says. I don't believe that you have to do it with the same as the I think we only do it that way for the Shem Havaya, the full Shem Havaya.
So Moshe is saying they want to know, in a sense, like, is the kind one coming or the powerful one, or like what way is he coming? And the answer is the one who gives existence. He's coming like that.
Right.
And you often see it translated as I will be or I will be. But Maharal is saying it really should be I am existence. I will be, but I give.
Correct. This is the way he says it. This is the way the Maharal says it.
And how is that geula, the fact that I'm the source of existence?
It's understood that Havaya is the granting of existence, is that it's going to be reconnecting that Kol Yisrael, instead of being dependent on the Mitzrim, are now going to be again receiving their existence, their sustenance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's really a form of Hashem that it's related.
Yes. Okay. Now, the Maharal goes further in this because the Pasuk goes further in this. The Pasuk goes further, and after he says, "So shall you say to the Jewish people, Ekesh Lachani Aleichem," he goes on and he says, Hashem goes on and says, "Vayomer Oida Lekim Al Maisha," and Hashem said further to Maisha, "So you shall say to the Bnei Israel, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the full name of Hashem, Elikei Avisechem, the God of your fathers, the God of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, Shlochani Aleichem, sent me to you, Zeshemi Li'olam Zezichri L'dor Dor." So he gives yet, that's, as we said, the third step. The first step was Eke Asher Eke, the second step was Eke, and the final step is Hashem Elikei Avisechem, Elikei Avram, Elikei Yitzchok, Elikei Yaakov. What is the meaning of that? So the Maharal says that you have to understand that there's two things. There's tshuva, there's salvation, and then there's geula. There's redemption. What's the difference between tshuva and geula? Right? One might say it, by the way, as like we had in yesterday's parsha, the arba l'shoyne shel geula. I will take you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. I will save you from their work. And then I will redeem you. There's something called just saving them, and then there's something called redeeming them. What's the difference between the two of them? One of them is just relieving them of distress. And the second one is giving them independence, giving them their own independent being. So the Maharal says, and I have questions on this. I'm not 100% sure I understand clearly. I'm 100% sure that I don't understand clearly. The Maharal says that because Eke, as such, is a name which is connected, because Hashem is saying, "I will be," and so on and so forth, it's a name which is more connection. So yes, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaching down, saving us from the Egyptians, connecting us in a certain sense to Him. But there's a next phase, and the next phase is that Klal Yisrael stands as a nation alone. Klal Yisrael's on its own, not independent of Hashem Yisbarach. Not that we're not dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that Klal Yisrael, instead of just going, instead of being, you know, stuck as a nation which is dependent on the Egyptians, now we're, in a sense, a nation which is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a sense, that's true. But in a sense, there's a bigger transformation. Because in Mitzrayim, we weren't an independent entity. We were a nation absorbed within Mitzrayim. When we leave Mitzrayim, we're Klal Yisrael. We have our own national identity separate and apart from anything and everything else. Says the Maharal, the name Yud Ke Vav Ke is much more of an independent name than Eke, I will be. The name Yud Ke Vav Ke is Einai Taila Bezulasai, it's not Nismach. That name is the name which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants now for the ultimate Geula of Klal Yisrael, for the ultimate redemption, separation of Klal Yisrael as something which stands ultimately alone. For that you need the Shem Havaya. And he goes on and he explains that, look, the fact that we are the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov makes us Nivdolim, makes us transcendent, different than everything else. And that's like the Shem Havaya, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is, you know, what we call it, by the way, when the Rishonim discuss the names of Hashem. There are names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which are according to the actions of Hashem, which means that they exist only in relation to others. But then there's what's called the Shem Ho'etzem, the essential name of Hashem. I remember we discussed a few weeks ago, why is it called Har Sinai? There's a name which it has. Let's say its name is Sinai, but it's called Chayrev because of this, and it's called this because of that. All the different names that it has for certain things which it does. But it has its name, its essence. The name of Havaya is the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before any interactions, before what it does to this one, what it does for that one. When we speak about Klal Yisrael, we speak about ourselves in connection to Hashem, in relation to Hashem, things to which Klal Yisrael can do, things which Klal Yisrael can be. But there's also something here called creating the independent Etzem, Atzma'i, Atzma'ut nature of the Jewish people. Right? That's the modern term when they speak about Israel Independence Day is the day of Atzma'ut. Right? Atzma'ut is self, right? Independence, self-being, self-determination. The Shem Ha'etzem is not about what I happen to be doing right now. The Shem Ha'etzem is about what I am myself. And that has to be part of what is seen as the thing of Geula. Klal Yisrael is suffering the whip of Paro, of Mitzrayim. So they're crying. What do they need? They need relief. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eke, I will come, I will be there for you, I will give you existence, I will separate you from the Egyptians. But it doesn't end there. What it is I'm going to be giving you your own being as a nation for yourself. I'm going to be taking out Goy Mikere of Goy, like a baby coming out of its mother. Before it was just there, you know, part, will, intertwined with all the systems of something else. Now you're going to be on your own. So it's not just relief from the difficulties of being under Mitzrayim, but it's an identity shift. And for that, Hashem says, let me not talk about what I will do, but let me talk about what I am. And when I talk about what I am, I also want to talk about what you are. What are you? You are the descendants of Avram, of Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which has made you who you are, Nivdal Mikol, different than everybody else, transcending the things that involve other people's lives. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is the way I have to redeem myself. So there's the action itself of redeeming us from the difficulty. But then there's ge'ulim, to be for ourselves, to be on our own, to be separate and distinct. And the Maharal says in this, he adds a level of aimek, a further level of depth to this thing. Aleph, which is the letter which is used as the beginning of the name Eke, which is the conjugation form of the name Eke. Aleph, hu haschala. Aleph is the beginning. It's the beginning of the Aleph Beis. Aleph, the form which it adds to words, is what I will be, you know, something, you know, a plan for down the line. He says, and as we said, he's speaking on his own, and that's because of the level that he's revealing himself to others, to us. But the shame of Shem Shaldal Raisias, the Shem Havaya, starts with the Yud, and he says, and the Yud is Nistar. Yud is, and the Maharal writes about this in other places, that the idea is Yud in general is the letter which is Nistar, which is hidden. It's a small letter, it's the name, it's the letter through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Olam Haba. And he says Yud is the last letter. Now, the truth is that it's not the last letter of the Aleph Beis, as we all know. And Yud also can be Yiyeh, which is also for the future. But Yud is in the decimal system. Mm-hmm. Yud is the last. It's the last digit. Yud is when you take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and you bundle them together into a unit of 10. Shlemus, completeness. It says, the Shem Havaya is Tachlis Hatzura. It's the ultimate form. It's when things are there at its end. Aleph is, you know, the beginning. I want to go there. Yud is when you've arrived there and you have it and you bring it all together. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. He says that's the oimek. That's the idea which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. So on the one hand, we could speak about how Hashem opens himself and reveals himself to us to be able to get us out of the tzara which we're in right now. But the Shem Havaya speaks about the completion, the end of it all. And here, I want to, it's hard for me to explain it in the Maral's terms of Aleph and Yud. I want to try to take a step back, speak more the language that we used, you know, those who learned with some of you when we were learning Parshas Shemais and this section, about what really this shame is and what this exchange, another way of expressing this shift from Eke to Havaya. And it goes back to the pasuk that we read at the beginning today before we started, which is really the introduction to this exchange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe and he says, I want you to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, who am I that I'm going to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim? And Rashi says there was two questions. Who am I? And who are the Jewish people? Like, based on what do the Jewish people get to come out of Mitzrayim? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, and he says, because I will be with you, ki eyeh imach, which is no coincidence, that a moment later, he says, what's your name? And your name is Eyeh. I will be with you, because I will be with you. And then, he says, and this is the sign that I have sent you. When you take the people out of Mitzrayim, they will serve Hashem on this mountain. Says Rashi, you asked, and what are the Jewish people to deserve this? I'll tell you, it's not what they are, but it's what they will be. I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim, then they will ascend to Har Sinai where they will receive the Torah. And it's based on that they are worthy of redemption. We can talk about the present, and we can talk about the future. Kal Yisrael in Mitzrayim was sort of stuck at a certain step in their process, in their development, and where they were, if you just see them where they are, very shvach, not worthy, not complete. HaKadosh Rabbeinu says, why should I be taking them out? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not for who they are that you're taking them out. You're taking them out in order to make room for what they will be able to be. To be able to be at Har Sinai, to receive the Torah, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that mountain. Eyeh, I will be. Eyeh imach, I will be. It's true even in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did we read at the beginning of this week's Parsha? We read at the beginning of this week's parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I didn't let the Avos see my name Hashem, know my name Hashem. Says Rashi, why? I made a promise, and I didn't fulfill the promise. I promised them this land, and I didn't fulfill the promise. They didn't have it yet. Now I'm coming to complete the phrase to fulfill the promise. That's what I'm. That's what I'm calling you for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, the full name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Havaya, and the name of Havaya is Haya Hoyve V'Yia. He was, he is, and he will be. Bringing to completion is Yia, that he will be. Right, that last stage is right. Ani Rishon, Ani Acharon. In the end, at the end, the completeness of the world is where you have the fullness of the name of Hashem. And if you think about it, right? What again? The name of Havaya is Hoya Hoyve V'Yeh. He was, he is, he will be. Ani Rishon, Ani Acharon, Mivaladei and Elokim. Past, present, future. What's missing when the promise is unfulfilled is the future. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I'm coming to fulfill the promise. I'm coming to get you from the present to the future. That's Eye, I will be. That's what's going to be Mashlim. That's what's going to complete the name of Hashem. Chazal teach us, we'll discuss it soon, Purim time. The name of Hashem is incomplete as long as Amalek is still around. Why? Because the completeness of the name of Hashem is when potential is fulfilled, when everything is at its end goal. Eye is, I will be. The name of Havaya is when the past and the present and future are together as one, where the will be is already, when it's been accomplished. Bayom ahu yiyeh Hashem echad u'shma echad. On that day, when everything is completed, then you have the name of Havaya, where you don't separate the future. There's still something to happen in the future that isn't there yet, that hasn't been realized yet. At that point, it's already realized. It's already all together. The future is now. That's the completion of the name of Havaya. And that, in a certain sense, is Nistar, is hidden. We're waiting for that to happen. On that day, V'nigla kavod Hashem v'ro kol baso yachtav. On that day, when it will be revealed, when it will be known, then it's going to be a different story. I'll just tell it to you as in a way, so to speak, of tzachos. But it's not, you know, tzachos means like sort of just like a cute way to say it. But I think it's more than cute. There's a din on Pesach, I think most people know this din, that you're not allowed to have chametz. Right? You have to have matzah. We have it because chametz is delayed, you know, you wait, how do you make bread, which is chametz, right? You make the dough and then you let it sit for, who knows, for hours, you know, till over time. You just can't accelerate the process. You could do a little shtick to accelerate the process a little bit, you know, put it in a warm place or something like that, but it just needs its time to rise. It just has to sit around. Whereas matzah, there's nothing as frenetic as a matzah bakery, right? Constant movement. And because Yitzias Mitzrayim was with chipazim, so therefore we have matzah on Pesach, and we can't even have chametz. Remarkable. And we have all kinds of symbolism to lying around, lazy, you know, yetzer hara, and everything else. But an incredible thing is that when we get to Shavuos, which is the festival of Matan Torah, specifically we have chametz. Specifically, the Shtei Alechem, the two breads that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, which, by the way, the whole year, there was hardly chametz in the Beis HaMikdash. On Shavuos, we specifically have chametz. Why? If you think about it in the framework of these psukim and this, it makes sense. Because chipazon is when you're trying to get somewhere. When you're trying to get somewhere, you're rushing. You're trying to bridge the gap between the present and the future. Right? I need to be in New York. Right? I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to go. I'm going to run. I'm going to drive down the highway at 65 miles an hour. Right? Because I've got to get there. That's where I have to be. So I have to move, and I have to move quickly in order to be able to get there. And when I get there, I plop myself down. in an armchair, and I said, "Phew, I made it, and now I'm here." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I don't understand Klal Yisrael of the present. Why are you redeeming them?" And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You're right, it's not the present. It's because of where I want them to get." So therefore, Yitzias Mitzrayim is in haste because you're not there yet. But when you get to Matan Torah, which is the destination, you're there, relax, have fluffy challah. Right? That's the thing. That's the point, the object of Havaya. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Jewish people, he says, "You're in a tzara right now, you're in a difficulty right now. I'm going to relieve you from that difficulty. I'm going to reveal myself to you in order to be able to give you that freedom." That's what's happening now. That you can understand in this framework. But it's going to take you someplace where you don't understand. It's going to take you someplace where you haven't seen. The fact that I'm going to come to you now to relieve you of your difficulty, that you're in the present, that's how I'm revealing myself to you. But what it is to arrive at is hidden. There's a goal in the future which I'm taking you to. That's like my essence, that it's hidden. You know, the Maralam says are two things that you cannot probe. You know that? Everybody knows that the Rambam says you can't really probe God. I mean, it's an ironic thing because Rambam says the main work of a person in life is knowledge of God. But on the other hand, he says you can't really understand God. To understand God, you have to be God. And you know what else God Rambam says that about? Yemei Samashiach. The way the Rambam ends the Rambam's code, he speaks about the days of Mashiach, and he says, you can't know what the Yemei Samashiach is. Now, you can take that as a much more simplistic question. There's an argument, this, what's going to look like. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But it's, in a sense, that's unknowable. And as the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't say it about the days of Mashiach, has a debate about the days of Mashiach, but it says about La'asid Lo'e, about the ultimate end, Ayin Le'ra'asa Le'kim Su'asech Yasvam Chakoy, only God knows. There's something that you can't see. In the world of perfection, to which Ge'ula ultimately moves us, it is as unknowable as God himself. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says ultimately, right? I'm telling you Eke, I'm telling you what I can show you. Right? You're feeling welts on your back, you're feeling sores and aches and pains from the cracked whip of the Egyptians. You know what it feels not to have that? I'm telling you, you won't have that. Eke. But the ultimate future, when it's going to be complete, when again the future is now, that's Yud, that's Havaya, that's unknowable. You don't know it yet, I can't tell it to you yet. It's as unknowable as the essence of Hashem is. How Hashem reveals himself to us is how we can know Hashem, but the essence of Hashem we cannot know, and to some degree the Geula we cannot know yet. That's a little bit of how the Maharal is explaining, with perhaps a little bit supplement of how the Maharal is explaining this exchange about the Shemais of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The names of Hashem and this usage and these psukim about the names of Hashem are amongst the most difficult sugyas, the most difficult matters to learn and to discuss and to understand. So I share this with you with a thorough understanding of our limitations and being able to approach this. We never get the full picture, but in something like this we hardly get, you know, get close. Yes, Hashem, next time we'll continue with the 26th parish of the course. Yeah.
Two questions. Number one, it sounds like you're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives